The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjoe Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjoe Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is, does your IT vendor pass the tough times test? Our guests for today's show are Yuri Kocher, who's the CTO and Vice President of Technology at the Washington Post. Good morning, Yuri.
Good morning, Sunjoe.
How are you, sir?
Great. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Enjoying the sunny weather in Chicago. Unheard of, but once in a while we get lucky. So, and also we have Mike Hugos. He's the CIO at large and with the Center for Systems Innovation. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm great. I'm here in Chicago with you, Sunjoe.
Yes, I know that. We both are a little bit lucky.
Yeah.
So, this topic, as we have picked up today, this is something is on everybody's mind. We always keep playing that game of trying to get the most by paying the least. At the same time, we have to also get some loyalty from our vendors, not only in terms of giving price breaks, but overall a good partnership. So we are looking from our standpoint, when we look at customer loyalty as businesses, we try to do CRM, we try to find a way to measure, and then correspondingly try to work to improve it. What do we do from a vendor standpoint? How closely do we look at it, and how important do we feel it is for our existence and our ability to really do a good job? Yuri.
Yeah, Sunjoe, I think that we have started paying much more attention to our vendors. I believe in treating my strategic vendors more like a partner. Actually, I encourage my team, and we all try and are trying hard to move away from the term vendor. We talk about partnership. We talk about mutual win-win relationships. I try to share my strategic vision with the vendors. So I spend a lot of time trying to build relationships and create a working relationship that we can leverage for the long haul. So you have to nurture the vendor relationship. I expect my partners to reciprocate, and we try to be very, very careful in bringing in new vendors, because we want to manage our ability and manage our bandwidth of creating relationships that work for us for the long haul. So we don't take this lightly. We've understood that vendors are a major portion of our success.
Mike, what do you think?
Well, I think that Yuvi put it pretty well. I think that we all know this. We've certainly talked about it in the past, and now it really counts. So when you select that handful of really key vendors, treat them well and expect the same in return.
Now, Yuvi, you mentioned that you use your strategic vendors as partners. So would you actually suggest or recommend creating camps for vendors? And the amount of time that you spend building relationships with them would be dependent on the ones who are truly strategic versus some that you need as on an on-demand basis?
Absolutely. I think as IT is getting commoditized in several areas, we absolutely push vendors for price, and we try to benchmark them from the market. But when it comes to strategic vendors who provide higher level services, who are more strategic and important for our business, we spend a lot of time with those vendors. So it's a very carefully selected group of vendors. You know, I, for example, would let a lot of my procurement folks deal with, you know, the next hardware contract or our telecom contracts in some ways if it's not a strategic need. Just because they're so much more well-versed to follow the process, to identify market benchmarks, and then negotiate with the vendors. Whereas when it comes to strategic vendors, it is very personalized. I try to build relationships up the chain so I can have a long-term strategic partnership which sees us through tough times and good times.
So, Mike, question. If we have procurement already as one of the party, which has got type of the same role that they want, we want them to play is to manage vendor relationships. But at the same time, that extra mile somebody would go because of what they feel about you as an individual, as an IT leader.
Mm-hmm.
Can you afford to have procurement standing with a whip and play the bad cop and you play the good cop, and that's how you can get them to really deliver as per your expectation, truly develop a partnership, or they can see through this if suppose you try to play this game?
Sure, I think so, although I'm never above a little bit of theater. A little drama is always a good thing. Yet you're right. And I think, again, what Yuvi said was the more commodity products and services, I think that's procurement's job, is to get a good price. The more strategic services and software, it is the CIO, the CTO, it's that person's job to really get to know those vendors and get to know more than just their sales guys, get to know their executives, get to know what their plans are, share some of your own plans. You should both be under non-disclosure agreements. You should be able to talk fairly frankly about your business plans and see, are those vendors going to be going in the direction that you intend to go?
If it were you, would you tell procurement to deal with the vendors you want them to, besides, of course, the contractual side, in order for the relationship to truly not be jeopardized? You're investing in that relationship as an individual or as a group in terms of IT leadership. But then procurement could undermine based on their whip.
Oh, yes. Yes, I think you need to be pretty clear about that, and that's something you need to work out with your folks internally. You don't want, you cannot have a strategic partnership where the main goal is the lowest possible unit price. That's a blatant contradiction in terms, and if your goal is lowest price, then it is not strategic, period. End of story.
So, how would you look good in front of your CFO when procurement is trying to drive, for example, the lowest price and the best deal, and you want to build the relationships, you want to eat the cake and have it too, but then you're not going to make some few people happy in your organization because you are trying to make it more relationship-based.
Right. So, you know, what I try to do is, you know, the CFO and procurement and I frequently meet. We are frequently on the same page. Everybody understands who's doing what. And I think the most important thing is that I and my team are picking the solution. We're trying to choose the tools. We are trying to identify what functionality meets our customers' needs. And procurement is approaching this from a very commodity-centric view, which is, okay, here are the two vendors that meet your need. Now let's go to the market and see how we can get those vendors to come to the price point we want. But when it comes to strategic vendors, you know, it's very hard for me to take an application management or even hire a service like product deployment contract and start doing benchmarks for pricing in the market. I mean, that's just not an approach that would bring you success.
So do you actually end up earning that allegiance? Like it's a marriage at the end of the day. You have to invest in it.
Yes.
So how are you investing?
So I think the first thing I do with any vendor that we get into a relationship with is they understand that I am honest, I'm open, and once we decide to work together, I put my cards on the table. You know, they are not blindsided. They understand my strategy. They understand the roadmap we are trying to deliver. And they also get visibility into what opportunities are coming down the road. So you need to build a true partnership, and you need to play your part equally as you expect your vendor to play their part.
So in terms of building relationship, Mike, what you may have done which did not fly the way you expected in terms of building the best relationship that you would have otherwise anticipated, or you see other people making those mistakes. So there are a lot of things that we can say, okay, we can do this, this, and this, but for clarity or by process of elimination, can we inventory the things which we should not do as IT leaders to prevent the best relationship that we wanted from our vendor community?
Well, sure, and I think UV has spoken of a few of them. I would definitely, again, say, if price is your main concern, then it simply can't be a strategic relationship, and don't expect anything other than just shrewd poker playing from your vendor, if that's your approach. I think you also need to pick people because of their strengths, and when you pick a certain vendor, that's because you intend to play your own business game in a way that will leverage the strengths of those vendors. Don't ask vendors to do something that they're opposed to doing or that is not in their best interest or their business plan, the way that they want to evolve their product line. I think those are a couple of main ones. And then I suppose there's also something that we all know, which is you have to like each other. And who knows what that chemistry is. It's psychological, somewhat intangible, but you have to like each other. So I don't think you can be strategic with people unless you get a good price, but it can't be the lowest price. You've talked about your business plans, and you both see that you're going in similar directions, so you can expect that your vendor is going to be evolving their product in ways that are going to be supportive of the way you want to evolve your business. And then you like and respect each other, those three things.
Right. And I would add, you know, Mike, that what I have found is you need to be in the sweet spot of the vendor,
mm-hmm.
right? So you don't want to be working with someone who's serving customers much higher than yourself in terms of volume and need,
right?
Or working with customers who are much smaller than you. And so you want to align yourself with vendors who really thrive in servicing your kind of business and needs.
You mean, UV, with the category that you're in, with your small, medium, large, that, because that brings up an interesting question. I'd like to get your response. The notion that a lot of the large ERP vendors now are really aggressively going after the small and medium-sized businesses, and they're making certain price concessions, et cetera, to get into those smaller businesses, but their bread and butter really still seems to come from the multi-billion dollar. Do you think that's a workable strategy for those vendors?
So I think they're looking for new markets,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to approach changing their product lines or even acquiring products that service the different tier of vendors.
Yeah.
But I think it's important for both the vendor and the buyer or the customer to agree and evaluate if it is a good fit. So,
right.
You know, I'm not against working with, let's say, the Oracles and the SAPs if my needs are small, provided the product line is aligned with who's using it and the way they service it is aligned with my needs.
And I think that also brings up, in my own mind, and I've certainly heard others voice the same opinion, that there are certain vendors that are just simply so large that really have no negotiating power with them. We all can think of probably three or four of them, and then there's that whole question of who really needs who, who's got more power, and in those circumstances, can you really have a strategic relationship with a vendor that has so much power?
And my response would be, I've had tough times with such misalignment,
right.
And you know, yes, there are some vendors we just have to live with because they've become large and pretty much touch each one of us. But the endeavor is to try and work towards that fit because that's when alignment appears and the results are usually better than otherwise.
No, I agree. I agree totally.
So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages and try to identify what would be the typical signs that we would see when a new vendor relationship is put in place, and we start seeing that, okay, this one looks like something that's going to convert into a long-lasting relationship and something which is going to be mutually beneficial. So then, accordingly, we can start putting our relationship-building hat on and then try to invest more in it. But then before that, you have to have some due diligence or some typical signs that you can possibly become aware of that this is what is happening, and accordingly we put in our investments in terms of time and effort. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjo Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we are looking at typical early signs that you would see when you are just about getting engaged with a vendor. What are those signs which will give you a cue that, yes, this is a vendor which I should invest in? Mike.
Well, I guess I would repeat my 3 points we made just before the break, that they have a product that is evolving in ways that are clearly going to support the way you see your own business evolving. They have a good price, which means a good price, not the lowest price. And then it also means that you like and respect each other, and you feel that you can talk frankly and share ideas, because actually vendors are great places to get ideas. They're right up there with the technology, and they should be coming up with some interesting things. Yeah.
Yuri?
And I would, second what Mike just said. I think those three items really are the first points of evaluation of potential relationship. I will add, however, that alignment in terms of size, alignment in terms of depth of talent, what you might need. You know, you might have a need, a certain need today, but you need to evaluate the vendor as, do they service the ecosystem or do they just service the point need that you're trying to fulfill? And depending on where they sit, you would want to develop a strategic, deeper relationship or not.
And you mentioned about liking the vendor. Are we talking to or referring to the vendor rep who ends up showing up and meets and greets with you or has lunch with you, or we are talking about another way to identify whether these guys are likable? How does a vendor become likable? They can possibly get these ideas from you and work on it.
Right. So I think I tend to like vendors who have similar philosophies as me. It's not just about the sales rep, who respond in the form and who get what I'm trying to achieve and play back solutions which are aligned with what messages I'm giving them, and hear and listen to what is being said, and not just keep playing their own tune for every question or every thought that you might have. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I actually, you know, I have a lot of respect for salespeople and for the people who go first, for as they say, they get shot full of arrows. But one of my first tests with a new vendor is I'll interrupt the sales guy's presentation and ask him a question and see if he understands the product well enough to just start, you know, to go free form. When people want me to sit in my office and go through a tightly prepackaged half-hour presentation, that never makes a good impression on me. I like people who can mix it up, think on their feet, and that's also a way for me to judge their character. If they give me pat answers, if they repeat cliches, these are bad signs. They're off to a terrible start when they do that.
And there's something I have started doing recently is I find that vendors are now approaching me after having read my blog. They kind of understand where my thoughts are. I don't share everything on my blog, but I think directionally I find that I resonate much better with vendors who pre-align themselves and understand what my needs are, and don't try to take the discussion to places where they know that I'm not as interested.
That's a very good point, UV, and I think that it's amazing still when I get calls from people who, you know, I write a lot. I write a blog for CIO Magazine. I speak, and when people don't take the time to just do a web search on your name, check out your blog, check out your website, that's a sign also that, what, at the very least, that they're just simply not doing their business. At the very most, it means they're probably desperate. So you're absolutely right. People should self-select. I think we all spend a lot more good, productive time when we do that sort of preliminary work. And then you're not, you know, trying to convince me of something I don't believe in is a massive waste of time.
Now, since most of our vendor interactions eventually boil down to price, unfortunately, but that's what it is, and we discussed about if a product or a solution or a service is being sold at a good price. Now, that good is vague, or this has to be defined. So how does one define a good price?
I have some thoughts. Yubi, you want to go first?
No, you go ahead.
You know, I think that since we live in a market economy, and what the market does is it basically sets, you know, the commodities traders here in Chicago call it efficient price discovery. So for any basic product or service, you can figure out, and if you don't know, your purchasing guys do know, what is the market price. And then the value on top of the market price has to be some specific tangible things. Either it is more customized to your particular needs, they give you certain service level guarantees. So a good price is not wildly out of line with the market, but it's 2 to 4, maybe a little bit more percent above that market price for good reasons that you can explain to your CFO and your CEO, and they will look at you and say, yes, that's a good decision. You're not just giving money away.
And I agree with Mike. I think experience and constant networking with my peers, you know, we always don't share detail level price, but you can get very good benchmarks from the market and from the networks on what is a reasonable price. I'm not extracting the last dollar from my vendor to make sure that, you know, they step back and try to make the deal viable after the fact, and as a result hurt my business and my ability to deliver. But then, you know, you're always looking at the trending in pricing. I do leverage soft spots in pricing, which is, in my terminology here, is close of quarters. You know, when the vendors are a little more aggressive, you know, you need to keep track of that and make sure that if you're making a purchase or if you're wanting to do something, you try to get the vendors when they're most open to helping you. Also, you know, finally, the vendor has to feel good for having made a sale. You might get a great price because, you know, finally the vendor met their quota and actually did well on the street. That's important to them, and they don't mind giving you a better price just because you got them there.
Right, right. If the vendor isn't happy, you're not really going to be that happy either, unless it's a simple one-time transaction where you buy some relatively stable asset and you both go your own ways. If it's going to be an ongoing relationship and you're always squeezing out the last dollar, you're going to get grudging acceptance, grudging cooperation. People will not leap to your assistance when you need them.
And I think it's important to remember that you have to, with strategic vendors, frequently go back to the well. You know, you might need more services, you might, and at that point they know that you're not going to be able to walk away, or they have the upper hand, and they will probably get their pound of flesh.
They will indeed, and why shouldn't they?
Now, while we should not use the excuse of these tough times for everything that we do in our business and in our lives, should we use this excuse to get a better deal out of the vendors?
I think it's a little bit transparent. You know, a good way to save money is just not to do something at all. You know, when we're also,
like
we're also busy saving money, you know, I don't need to save $50. I really don't. I mean, certainly $50 is fine, but if I really need to save money, I will just simply cut something altogether, period.
And I second that. I think it's more important to constantly drive the vendors on price, but when it comes time for, okay, we need to reduce cost, is to reprioritize the workload. I mean, it's,
right.
That's where you get the biggest bang for the buck. Instead of pushing and driving your vendors to the edge every single time you need to find a dollar.
And actually, I, you know, having been on both sides of these negotiations that we're talking about, I find that when on the vendor side, when I'm talking to a customer who is always interested in the lowest price, and I would tell a quick story. In one of the companies where I was the CIO, we were a national distribution organization. We distributed a line of cleaning supplies, a humble line of products, but we sold a lot of it. And there was one particular customer that was owned a chain, actually several well-known chains of fast food restaurants. And they were always angling for the lowest price. And it got to the point where we were doing tens of millions of dollars of business with them. But, you know, for heaven's sakes, at the end of the day, were we making any money? It wasn't clear. And the other point was that soaked up all of our time that we could otherwise devote more attention to customers where we knew we were making a profit. So I think that when you're in those negotiations, regardless of which side of the table you're on, you know, both parties need to realize that saving $50, if that's the major issue here, this is a lose-lose proposition. And, you know, I always would say, hey, inflict that customer on our competition instead. Find people that value the extra things that you can do. That's where you're going to, that's where you'll both be successful.
Now, let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And let's turn this around and look at it from a vendor standpoint. The thought that was put forward now was that in case I want to save money, let's not do anything at all. Now, vendor wants to sell you because that's how he's going to take the paycheck home. Why not allow them to help you get that killer price which you otherwise would have never received? And that would not give you a sticker shock even in these tough times. And you move forward with your life and business and let the vendors also sell. Keeping a tight control on the purse strings in these tough times is actually hurting everybody. So please let's take a quick break. We'll come back and discuss.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, and you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher, but without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval.com. Visit today.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we were discussing before the break that in case the times are tough and we want to save money, let's not do anything at all. Let's turn this around from a vendor's viewpoint. They want to do business with you, and they also know the times are tough. Ask them. Maybe they will have something which will allow you to create that killer proposition, which you can take back to the CFO, and it'd say, okay, this is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Maybe it's because the times are tough, but at least money will change hands, and the life will go on, and we will not be working with that tighten your purse string syndrome, which is actually causing this whole economic turmoil. Yui, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that that we need to move into a more variable cost environment where, you know, we are not stuck with a lot of fixed cost, and we should try to reduce the size of projects to a manageable level, and and work with, give an opportunity to vendors to try and offer up what is possible. I frequently share my roadmap with my vendors. I share what I did not manage to put on the roadmap because of cost or other reasons. And so they have visibility on what opportunity exists in our business, and they have an opportunity to bring forth solutions which I might be interested in. And I never say no, especially if it's a right fit and if there is some way of reprioritizing what we are doing to move forward on certain things which weren't just viable otherwise.
So, Mike, what do you think we should do if we were not afraid? This is something coming from Who Moved My Cheese.
Right.
So even as IT leaders, we should always be fearless IT leaders. And while, of course, I mean, yeah, that's something we can at least strive to become.
Yes.
Under guidelines from, of course, the executive management.
Right.
But then would you rather not be a fearless one who would do things if you were not afraid of what's happening around you? And what you'll also look at, what's the opportunity cost of not doing anything?
Well, you ask a couple of questions there. Let me see if there's two main points here. The first part is about fearless, and of course, I would love to be fearless, and it is something I strive for. And on my better days, I feel that way, and on my other days, I feel, oh, for heaven's sake, what have I just done?
But,
and then you know the whole notion of, especially in my better days when I'm fearless. Where do I want to go? Where do I want to take my business? You know, I spend a lot of time, I consider now that the calling of the IT profession is to drive business, is to use IT to make money. It's not using IT to cut costs so much. That's, of course, that's still important, but that cannot be the main thrust. Everything about business these days, except maybe taking your best customer out to lunch, has got IT right down the middle of it. So on my fearless days, I'm always thinking about how, and I'm always collaborating with the business people and talking to them, how can we use IT to make money? And then you turn around and, you know, as Yuvia said, when you explore a new market, you want to get in there on a variable cost model. You don't want to make a big bet, a big investment, a big capital expense that a certain venture is going to work out. You want to probe into that in a way where you're, as much as possible, you're using cloud computing, software as a service, variable cost, pay-as-you-go type of model to see if that new venture is going to pan out. Am I making sense?
I think we are all now well aware that it's important that IT partner with business and not wait for some kind of a decision to come down, you know, whether it's around cost or whether it's around new product. We need to be aligned. We need to be collaborating all the time and be central to the business decision-making. And I think that vendors should understand that the customer, that we are interested in evolving our business and moving it forward, and they need to be empowered to bring solutions forward which would evolve and improve our top line.
Right, so when and I do approve when a vendor just comes up with an idea, and that again is a sign of a strategic relationship. When you've shared enough information with them about where you're going and they feel that they are going to be welcome when they come in and suggest something, and it's not just a blatant ploy to unload, you know, $1 million more product on your desk, but instead it's a thoughtful idea to advance some business ventures that you're working on, that's a sign of strategic relationship.
Now, in particular, what areas are you looking for help from the vendors that if they could, you know, step up to the plate and really help out, Yuvi?
So, in my mind, we're looking for opportunities. I mean, everybody is very well aware of how media businesses are evolving. The change is dramatic. Print media is especially under significant threat. We're moving our business online. We're trying to get into mobile and other delivery channels. So, you know, that's obviously where our mind is, and that's where I encourage our vendors to be, which is, to think about and to bring to us ideas that might be kind of beginning to germinate in the environment, which we may not be aware of, to move our business forward and to help us eliminate cost, if that's the other aspect. They obviously understand that with revenues down the way they are in our media businesses, that's where our mind is. That's where our efforts are.
Yeah, I'm particularly intrigued with the impact of social media, social networking, where it's going, what it's doing to traditional print media, and you know, I'm also wondering sometimes about some of the social media sites, like Facebook, like Twitter. You know, are they making money? You know, you look at the reports, Twitter isn't really making money. Facebook, its valuation over the last 2 years has come down considerably. It's clearly making money, but is free a business model? And yet, clearly, this is happening. The world, it's like all this social media is becoming some kind of a planetary cerebral cortex. We all spend hours recording our thoughts and our ideas and our aspirations and communicating with each other through these media. So there's a profound shift going on here. And how do we harness our businesses to this? How do we use this to find new ways of doing traditional things?
So if you were to look at a typical scenario, which is that, okay, you had a great relationship which has been long-term with a vendor, and you see the lack of response from them, and they also start failing. And you may have had discussions about lowering the costs or giving them you other concessions, or you're going to be stopping some of the projects or initiatives that they would have directly benefited from. How should one interpret this lack of interest? Is that telling you that this vendor was never strategic and our judgment was wrong, or they truly cannot help, or they truly have a problem? Because we come across these things all the time in business. So how what are your thoughts? So Yuvi?
So I try to maintain relationships with my vendors at multiple tiers. So it's not one person's behavior that would bring me to a judgment point. I would want to get data points from executives, from sales folks, from delivery team that might be working with me actively, to try and understand, you know, what is driving the vendor's behavior. And we don't take relationships, as I mentioned at the start of this conversation, lightly. You know, we've invested in relationships. We have. It's very hard to drop vendors and go to new ones. We do try to keep that flexibility. I'm actually currently moving a significant outsourcing engagement from one vendor to another. So I like to keep my vendors, my partners, on their toes. But it's important to understand what's driving their behavior. It might be that you're no longer a viable partner, a viable customer, and they've driven, you know, you've driven them down to a point where they can't really make money, and or there might be actual desire to get out of the services that they are providing you. Maybe it's no longer a direction and a strategic important initiative for the vendor. So you need to. I try to understand what is driving the behavior before I come to any conclusions.
Yeah, I think that's very appropriate. And so that's where your network of contacts, do some probing around. Don't just take the response from your sales guy from that vendor. Find out from your contacts. And if that vendor is someone that you've considered strategic in the past, then you certainly know other people there. And ask, and just see if they'll tell you. And I think it's what Yuvi just said. In many cases, there comes a point where you are no longer going in the same direction that the vendor wants to go, and it's just not worth it to them to continue that relationship. And maybe all that they can do for you is help you make a transition.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back and discuss about a situation where you may be feeling trapped, or you may truly be so deeply, you know, integrated with the services and products and solutions that a given vendor is providing that it's not that easy to disengage. And if in these tough times you do not see the desired behavior or that special extra mile that you would expect them to go and they don't, what do you do? Is that because you're giving them some business, so you're entitled for them to go and go that extra mile? Or would you take it with a grain of salt and live through this? So how do you balance you being so deeply engaged with an organization, which you cannot just disengage tomorrow, and you have tough times? So how do you eat the cake and have it too? Let's talk more when we come back. Please stay tuned.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens?
Will you come get me?
Should I stay where I am and wait for you? Or go to Grandma's house since it's closer?
Should only pick a place for me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home, should we go to the neighbor's house?
How do we keep in touch with each other if the phones don't work? Should I be worried how we all get home?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. Example, tough times. You are in a marriage with your vendor, deeply engaged with what's going on in terms of how well or how deeply are you integrated with their products and offerings. And now the times are tough and you are trying to get the most out of them. You're not getting the expected response. And in some cases, the vendor may also be thinking that, you know, these guys are becoming way too demanding. It's not remaining as profitable as we would like and we're spending too much time because they were initially a strategic vendor. So how do we best balance this relationship, Mike?
Well, I guess it really comes down to if you are going in different ways, in different directions. If you've done a little bit of detective work, if you've asked more than just a few people, you've got this picture now that the vendor is no longer being responsive to you because you're not a profitable customer, there really is only one logical outcome, and that is to make as graceful a transition as you can. If you're in a situation where the vendor is all-powerful and you have no bargaining position, and it's certainly there are times when that happens, then I guess you really need to, you know, if your ERP vendor now feels that they have the most power and they're just simply raising your support costs, your licensing fees, et cetera, well, that's a tough spot to be in. And at the same time, I guess you have to say, is it so tough that I would consider now moving to a different ERP vendor, if I would perhaps go to an open source or a software as a service model to get, you know, to get out from under a crushing fixed cost load?
Yuri?
Yeah, in my case, you know, we are trying to make sure always that we don't have all our eggs in the same basket. I understand, you know, I have an ERP system. It probably comes from one of two big vendors. And, you know, you feel stuck. Implementing and migrating ERP systems is not to be taken lightly, and it could be very disruptive to the business. So we are constantly trying to figure out how do we keep flexibility and remain nimble and have an ability to keep the vendor honest. You know, they need to understand that you have options. However, I understand and they understand and appreciate that at times we are stuck. So I usually build relationships with such vendors. I keep the channel of communication open. There is always something that they want, and you need to figure out how you keep them feeling positively about the relationship, about the potential of the relationship. And you need to foresee and forecast as early as possible. For example, you know, I had an outsourcing engagement which was going to come up for renewal, and I started talking about renewal 1.5 years before the contract was up, because I knew that at 6 months before the contract, I would really have no leverage over my partner. And so I think they understood that I was looking for making a decision early. If I needed to move, I wanted the runway to be able to move.
And that
made them very aggressive in working with me.
Mike?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Don't wait until the last 6 months and send those signals and let them know that if they want the renewal, that we need to start talking about it now. And if they don't, you'll find out, and you'll have yourself enough room to maneuver so you can look at alternatives. Right. Those are sometimes the very obvious choices are not so obvious. And that's one of them. Yeah.
All right. 30 seconds we have. How will you reward someone who, you know, steps up to the plate in these times? Mike.
Well, obviously, I would give them more of my business. You know, you're always... In one respect, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, as Yuvi said, but in another respect, if you feel like they've really stepped up to the plate, you really feel like they've helped you out, you give them all the business so that they know that they've maximized the revenue that they're going to earn from you. And then I would also reward them by continuing to be honest and frank with them about what I'm doing. Let them know where my plans will take me and expect the same in return.
And I would add that, you know, I offer referrals. You know, I help them with reference calls. I support them in marketing case studies. And I think vendors respond very well to those kind of initiatives. And it's not just only money that you can give them. You need to invest in their success.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Yuvi and Mike, for sharing your thoughts about how can we have the vendors, the IT vendors, become our true partners and help us get through these tough times.
And thank you, Mike and Sanjog. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, Mike Hugo's here. I second that motion.
Thank you again. Now, many of us already realize that as IT leaders, our success is to quite an extent is dependent on the relationships we have with our suppliers and service providers. And we define a good vendor who sells us a good product or at a competitive price and is there when we need them for support. So in these tough times, we may have realized that a good supplier is one who also goes the extra mile to get us through these times, and even if they are not able to provide the price, the price breaks that we're looking for. Then they could provide free support and training and other similar freebies, which are equally valuable to help us get our jobs done with limited resources. So how loyal is your vendor to you, and how loyal are you to them? Do you need them to be first loyal to them, to you, for you to be loyal to them? Answer these questions if you can. Please send us your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjay Agarwal, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjay Agarwal next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.